Welcome to the Practical Consciousness Podcast with James and Lisa, where we help you tap into your highest selves in everyday life.
Hi, welcome to the Practical Consciousness Podcast with Lisa and James. I'm Lisa.
And I'd be James.
Hi, everyone. James and I are thrilled to be joined today by my good friend, Jen Minnick. For our conversation today. Hi, Jen.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So Jen is a trauma-informed energy healer and somatic shadow worker. She is endlessly fascinated by the connections between physical, emotional, and spiritual bodies. She partners with clients to create tailored solutions and strategies that empower a vibrant life. When she isn't working with clients and groups, she can be found holding impromptu dance parties, woohoo, hiking with her pup, and enjoying savasanas. She's based in Seattle, Washington. She works with individual clients and groups in person and also virtually, of course, these days. We all do that. That's great. And you can learn more about Jen if you'd like at her website, which is jenminnick.com. But let's spell it out because it's spelled a little differently than it sounds. JenMinnick.com. So, and we'll have that in the, we'll post it in the, when we post the podcast. So welcome, Jen.
Yeah, thank you. It's so fun. I was listening to some previous podcasts and I was getting very excited to be able to spend some time with both of you.
Yay.
Yeah, we're excited. We, I don't know if you've listened to the last series we've done on the shadow stuff. Mm-hmm. We're kind of passionate about it. So we're really excited to have you on and talk about that. And our listeners are kind of, we call them, you know, they're kind of linear left brain engineering type, you know, computer programmer type folk. And the whole shadow world it's probably super foreign to them. So we're, you know, having an expert or authority talk about it is super exciting for us anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have one more, I think, that we're going to post. It's a series of three that we did. So there'll be a third one and then this one that we'll post right after that. So it'll be great. It'll just be a great segue right into it. Cause I know that you've been a nutritional therapist and an energy worker for quite a while. But I'm wondering how did you move into shadow work? Like what drew you into that to practice that work also?
Yeah, I think both of you and probably your listeners can relate that there is such a fascination in our continual evolvement as humans and in understanding our interactions, how we show up in the world, how we want to show up in the world. And often just that connection around disconnect and just feeling a lack of alignment and not really knowing how to define it, what's actually going on. I spent over 15 years in more of the corporate world, you know, doing program and project management in the IT space. So I think that will also connect too in some ways.
Yeah.
Is that
it's perfect.
Yeah. So you can do this too. I mean, and my colleagues who I'm still, you know, friends with, they have, for the most part, are like, I don't really get what you do. It doesn't make sense. But it's okay because I have found that what worked best for me is when I started pursuing my own personal healing journey first. I have done past life regression. I have worked with a hypnotherapist. And that was the first tipping point for me in my professional career was that I would just go to work every day and I could do the work well and I liked interacting with my colleagues, but it just wasn't the right fit. And it didn't feel like depression. It was just low vibration energy every single day, but I didn't know how to articulate that and where the unrest was coming from. And so that investment in myself and working with a practitioner really opened my eyes to what it feels like in my body to be in alignment. Mm-hmm. And so that kicked off part of my journey. I'd also had a lot of health concerns and issues. That brought me to nutritional therapy.
That's what brought you into that. Okay.
Yeah. So I was doing nutritional therapy on nights and weekends, working this corporate job. And then I kept getting to this point in working with clients where I could give all this really nourishing advice around foods to enjoy, lifestyle considerations, and there was just this bigger block. So that took me down more the energy healing route, where at some point I realized that I could admit to myself that I was very intuitive and that I was spiritually connected in a way that I'd been taught not to be, you know, yeah. Like when you're little and you have your imaginary friends and everyone thinks that's really cute, but at some point that's not okay.
You're an adult now. Stop talking to your imaginary friends.
And one of them still pops up for me now, but it's more of a spiritual connection for me. And I can laugh, and it's like having a little group of energy sources that really know you and can challenge you. So for some people are probably still like, what? but that's really where I started to acknowledge that I was incredibly intuitive in my own unique way. And that would probably be the bigger piece that I want to share with anybody listening, and that I hope my clients walk away with as well, is there is no one size fits all approach to energy healing, to nutrition work, to shadow work. It's really about building up your own toolkit so that you can stay connected to what is in alignment for you and what you need to potentially work through, embrace, enjoy, and allow yourself to take up more space in the world. So the shadow work came as that final layering in component of mind, body, spirit, and really being able to have the language and the tools to go down into what feels more dark, potentially heavy and scary, and instead realize that when we're able to sit with everything that's coming up and we have compassion and love for ourselves as we're working through these processes, that there is even more openness at the end of it. And that allows for us to continue to make more decisions going forward that are in alignment with our highest self, with our true self. And that's an evolving piece of this too, is every week I'm a different human, you know, in really great ways.
We all are.
Yeah.
Every minute of every day.
Yes, exactly.
There's like constant rebirth. I love that you mentioned the idea that everything is sort of like very individual. That we have to have the word is escaping me, but this idea that there isn't a single thing that's going to be the silver bullet to enlightenment for every individual. We're all on our unique path. And I love that reminder.
Too.
Yeah.
It's different for everybody. And that's why it's better not to compare yourselves and see what other people, you know, listen to other people's journey and be like, wow, I'm way behind the curve or whatever the judgment might be. Yeah.
Right.
It's different for everybody.
It's so much comparison around what expectations are, around what wellness looks like, you know, how long something should take, why is that working for that person and not for me? And I will say that another component of this that Lisa, you and I have talked about in the past is I really appreciate the importance of this bio-individual support for nourishing our body, for that spiritual evolvement. Is also that spiritual bypassing drives me crazy. So when you see an energy practitioner that's like, oh, I can read your chakras, I know what's going on, and here's what you need to do. It completely dismisses your own personal experiences, your own feelings, your story. Mm-hmm. And now you've been given directions without any tools to actually integrate and be more whole in the world you're existing in.
That's a really good point. I mean, James and I are both coaches. And so for us, you know, when we went to coaching school, it's like, you cannot give any advice.
Right.
It's all coming from them. They can give themselves because they, you know, only you know your own experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're your best.
Exactly.
Your best teacher and your best guide and your best, best really everything for yourself.
Yes.
I mean, right.
Yep.
So Jen, I was curious about your particular brand of shadow work. Can you walk us through like how it works, your process basically?
Absolutely. I'll be honest, I'm also really intuitive in my work. So I do not have like a process chart, a flow chart of step one, two, three.
Right.
In general, though, what would happen is if you were to sign up for a session with me, whether we're in person or virtual, we do Zoom just like this.
Yeah.
It's basically you finding a comfortable seat to start. We talk through what your priorities are, what issues are coming up in that given moment. You know, sometimes there's an immediate, I just had a long week with my family and I really need help decompressing from that. Or it could be, I have this ongoing story I'm working through. I sit down ahead of time and also do a little bit of intuitive reading just to see what else might be coming up that I'm hoping we might be able to integrate. But the client is always going to be guiding the session in terms of priorities. Mm. So that connection piece is very important to me. Once we get to a point where we've at least identified a few priorities to start working on, you'll either find a comfortable seat, lay down. You're making sure that you've turned off your distractions, you know, locked the cat out of the room like I have done for this conversation. He's not happy with me, you know, and really making sure that your space is set up for limited distractions. And then that's where we go into more of the guided body sensation. So when I say somatic shadow work, basically the premise of when you hear the word somatic is that we're teaching ourselves to feel into our body. So much of this work can really feel academic and we can intellectualize it. Mm-hmm. And the healing journey that I have found to be most powerful is when we experience an emotion or a memory pops up is to not justify it for the reason, or I grew up this way, my parents didn't have a great childhood, that's why they do the things they do. Instead, it's more about when I am triggered by a certain memory or an interaction or a type of personality, where do I feel it in my body? Mm, yeah. So my job is to make sure that we're creating a space where you can explore that and really feel into your body. So I would say at least a quarter of my questions are, and where do you feel that in your body? Mm-hmm. Because we pull out so quickly and go to the justification and the mapping, yeah, of, oh, I'm connecting the dots.
Yeah.
And really a lot of the resistance comes from, can I feel this in my body? Once we're connected into the body, then it's more guided meditation. It almost sometimes does feel like hypnotherapy in a way where you're just following memories. Mm. And it takes practice, I would say, to actually, as a client who's going through this experience, to stay in that somatic pathway of where am I feeling this in my body and allowing memories and visuals to come up that don't necessarily make sense. And I have clients all the time be like, that doesn't make sense. Where is that? That's not a real memory of mine. And the great thing about this work is it doesn't matter whether it is real or not. There is something that is making that connection for you. Yeah. So we just continue to follow that. And sometimes it ends up in you're meeting an inner child at a specific memory and age. Sometimes there's just a family figure standing in front of you. And we figure out how to help you have that conversation with the inner child, with that person. Sometimes it's like just a figure that makes no sense. You know, a lot, the logical side of us is like, well, why is there a brick wall in front of me?
Yeah.
Well, whatever. Let's see. How do you feel in your body when that brick wall is in front of you? And often we start to pull out that there is a deeper connection. Mm. So it's, each session is going to be very different, even for clients that I've been working with on a regular basis. You know, we might have a session every month, even more than that. And that guided imagery and all those components shift almost every single time. Mm. So for our partnership in working through this, it's to make sure that you have the space to go deeper into memories. And I also like the term of titration for this work. So
I don't know that word.
Yeah. So in listening to the podcast episodes earlier about this, you know, there's a lot of emphasis on shadow work being heavy and hard and you got to be deep in it. But my role is to guide in a way that we're titrating your experience. How much can get you into a little bit of discomfort, but not necessarily pushing you over the edge where you completely shut down.
Yeah.
And that's where I do trust that in working together with my clients, that we are going to continue to find a balance that's appropriate for each session. Yeah. Mm. And I just had a session on Friday where this wonderful client of mine is really just overwhelmed with life right now. So a deep, heavy session is not necessarily what's going to be supported for her. So we figure out what's the immediate thing we can address today and what do we want to just keep in mind for a future session. And really just giving the space for each of us to ask questions and to stay curious about what is coming up in the body as a result. And I just feel like each session, the right things evolve.
So how do they even know that they want to work with you in shadow work? Are they already clients for nutritional therapy or energy or like, how do they say, I want to try this? Or is it something you suggest?
It's a little bit of a blend. I have some people that find me directly for shadow work because maybe they've heard from another resource that it was really helpful for them.
Yeah.
And for some of my more energy healing clients, that's more like Reiki, chakra balancing, which is lovely and I enjoy it. And that's sometimes the most appropriate thing in a session is to a little bit of just a boost and balance. As I work with clients that are more into, I'll call it lighter. It's more feel good often is in that energy work to start. Then I can start to sense where there is resistance and I'll ask, are you comfortable? I'd like to try like a little bit of guided work around this. And depending on the client then say, I think we really have an opportunity here to dig deeper into it. It'll be a slightly different experience.
Yeah.
But here's kind of what you can expect with it.
And you found most people are pretty open to.
Yes. And you know, I do have a couple of clients who they've also acknowledged they do not like shadow work because they do not like sitting in some of those emotions and in that emotional body.
Yeah.
But we've at least had a conversation around, okay, well, there's a little bit of avoidance around this going on right now, but that space is there for you when you do want to work on it. Yeah. And I'm still able to support them in energetic balancing in other ways. We've started that conversation at least.
You know, it's funny when you were talking about the avoidance, I find that the avoidance is in the long, like after I finally have experienced working on something that I need to work on or that I want to work on, then I looking back, I'm like, that avoidance was way more painful than the actual experience of working through something. Because once that energy is released, it feels so good. You know, yes, it's a little uncomfortable while you're working through it, but once the energy is released, it feels like, you know, floating. I mean,
if you think about how much energy expenditure goes into tamping something down, I'm not dealing with you right now. I don't have the energy or the emotional bandwidth to do this. Yeah. It's another depletion in your system.
Yeah.
So that idea of, you know, the only way out is through it. It eventually does free up your energetic balance to come back into play in a more healing way than what we've been experiencing before. Because those energetic leaks and everything, it just depletes your system.
It does, over time. Yeah. So that would be, one of the questions was going to be, how would you, what would you say to someone who is afraid to try this? But it sounds like you have a process where they could ease into it.
Absolutely.
Or they don't need to jump right into shadow work.
No, not necessarily. And even with someone books a shadow session that's never done it before and is a little bit like, I don't know what to expect. There's still that titration method to it, right? So I can, through our conversation and asking questions and figuring out how much ease there is in tapping into the physical body, we're already getting information about what's going to be appropriate for how far to push in this space. And that takes time.
Well, I love
how many.
Real quick. I love how you talked about being intuitive in the process itself, because that I think that opens it up to be very, very tailored to exactly what a given client needs at a given time. So, like you say, if I come in, I'm like, I really feel like I need to do this, but I already feel my soul being crushed just thinking about it. And you can be like, well, let's back up a second. Let's have a conversation first and kind of ease me into maybe even doing some, you know, energy healing or something. And then, you know, once I'm comfortable, I've built rapport or whatever with you, then at that point you can say, okay, let's go into some of these scarier areas. It's okay. I'm with mm-hmm. you. We're going to be fine. I love that. I really, really love that approach to it.
Yeah. And it's, I think it's important to also say, you know, one of my mentors was always like, you can't tell people it's a safe space. You can't tell people that they are safe. They have to recognize that so it's like, it's back to that spiritual bypassing of, okay, here's your healing area. Let's go in. Instead, it's, you tell me when it's appropriate to go a little bit deeper. Let's just breathe in that for a little bit. And often, just coming back again, where are you feeling that in your body? It's like, oh yeah, checking in with my body. Constant. And I have to do that too as a practitioner, because one of the ways I take in intuitive information is I actually feel the physical sensations that my client is feeling. Or even if I'm in a room, I'll be like, okay, who's like got shoulders hunched up? And so I have to work on, is that my energy? Is that theirs? And then when I am kind of sensing without like jumping into their energy, what would allow me to soften a little bit? And that's the goal, is to really soften into the experience. Rather than trying harder, we need to try softer. Yeah. And that's what allows us to go deeper into the shadows. Mm.
Yeah. And James and I have talked about the trying thing before. It's like, trying doesn't get you anywhere. Yeah. Yeah. There's no trying when it comes to this type of any kind of spiritual or growth consciousness type work. Mm-hmm. Trying, you don't try to, you don't force it. You don't.
Well, force is low vibration energy anyway. Yeah. So, it's generally, it doesn't usually work, or it's not sustainable at least.
Mm-hmm. That's the key right there. It's not sustainable. You might feel like you've gotten a result, but it's not sustainable. Right?
Yeah. In fact, in our coaching, oftentimes our clients, it sounds like it's similar methodology coaching and what you do. And our clients often want to speed through the process, right? They want to, I think it's a form of spiritual bypassing to some extent, but
tell me what to do.
Yeah. I paid you a lot of money.
Give me your advice. Tell me what to do.
Yeah, tell me what I need to do right now. And it can be interesting how, especially like a lot of my clients are leadership or like executive entrepreneur type. And so they already have got where they've gotten with force to some extent. Yeah. And so it's interesting I love the word you said, soften. When you soften back into it, how they respond to that. At first resistance, and then there's comfort, you know, that comes from, oh, okay, let me just breathe, take a break, get into my heart space.
We have so much attachment to outcomes, and a lot of this work requires us to just gently hold whatever is coming up and thinking about, What does success look like? A lot of my clients are like in the similar space. They're in leadership roles. They're doing really great things out in the world. They're creating impact, but what is that? Where is that alignment, and who taught them what success really is? Yeah. And so it's reshaping that and figuring out what's true to them versus what's stories that they've just had integrated since they were young about what does success look and feel like?
Yeah. Prosperity versus success. That's the real goal.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Go ahead, Lisa. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to ask, you know, when looking at the actual shadow work or the work that people do with you, what are some of the results that they get? Like, what do some people walk away with? We just got done saying that you can't attach to that, but I'm just curious, what are some of the things, like if you asked some of your clients, you know, give me some ideas of what you walked away with, what were the benefits of working with me? What do you think that they would say?
Often I would say it's a sense of just clarity and almost neutrality around reflecting back on their past experiences. I'll lump myself in with this experience too, is there's a lot of blame around like, well, this happened to me. And while there's a resistance in terms of we justify, well, you know, again, I'll use that my parents didn't grow up with a great circumstance, so it makes sense that they were only able to offer me this much. Yeah. my role within the shadow work is to help you as a client also see that just because all that may be true does not diminish your experience, and that it was hurtful, and that you felt like you weren't seen or heard or loved. And so when we can separate that out in terms of clients working, you know, historically back in like whatever visuals, events come to mind, whether they're 100% true or not, supporting a client and being able to have that conversation with whomever created harm or even a memory in general and really sitting in it and honoring that it was painful, and that you can have a conversation, like let's say it's the parent, and you need to go back and be like, this really hurt me. When you did this, it hurt me. And for all of us to know that we're not going to go and like call that person up right after the session, right? And like do a download. This is all the things I said to you in the session, so I need to say that to you. That's not what needs to happen. Instead, it's you get to fully voice what was hurtful, what was not okay for you, and how it impacted you. It's that version of that event where that person is showing up for that client. Then that allows you to fully express that what you were sensing, all the hurt, all the harm. And then you also get to say, and this is what I need in turn to help my, bring myself back into balance. So it's like articulating not just the hurt, but also that, and this is what would help me start that healing process. Yeah. And working through all of it. The piece here is time isn't linear in energy healing, right? So like even you doing your work with like a version of a parent in your life starts to soften connections. And I've seen that a lot. So that's one way I have seen it show up is relationships with family and friend, ancestral, you know, about those components do start to ease. Mm. And you don't necessarily have to sit down and build out a contract of how you're going to interact with going forward. Just all of a sudden, you'll go to a family event and you're like, it just wasn't as stressful this time. I just didn't anticipate what was going to happen.
That's absolutely been my experience. Yeah. That has been my experience for sure.
And that's honestly, like, I would say that's the biggest piece for many of the clients that I work with is it's like, we are corded, right? We have all these energetic cords. And so shadow work is a way to also bring those cords up, really recognize them, and then to just gently let them go. I'm not a big proponent of the like coming in with your light sword and like hacking away at things. I feel like that can really in its own way be traumatic, you know, without the proper setup.
Yeah.
And so this is giving you tools as a client to go back in and actually have conversations again. My goal would be to work myself out of a job for clients, or at least, you know, we see each other more regularly. And then you just need to check in a few times a year because you continue to incorporate tools and you can follow that process in your own body to be like, oh, that was a really uncomfortable experience. Why did I just react to that person that I've never met before? You sit in, listen to your body and go, oh yeah, that just feels just like a memory or an event that used to trigger me a lot when I was younger.
I love that. So, I love that. Yeah. Just, I love the idea of learning the tools. It's the same for James and I with coaching. Mm-hmm. You know, once there's all this awareness and tools and, you know, just knowing how to, how just experiencing things differently than you did in the past. You know, responding to things instead of reacting, and doing it all with a lot of awareness and, you know, knowing where you, what, who you are and where you are and what you're doing. Yeah. I like that.
Jen, I'm kind of what do you want to call it? Self-taught or self-practiced in, self-studied in, the shadow work. And I didn't go into it. It's interesting. As I was listening to you share, it just occurred to me that a lot of what you do with your clients is based, you know, around wellness and around energy healing and healing our energetic, you know, vibrancy. And that wasn't my intent. When I went into it, I was kind of guided. I can channel, I have a pretty strong connection with what I call Gus, God, universe, source, whatever you want to call it. And, I was kind of called and told to, I think the words were release the past, let go of the past. And so I went into it with kind of this mindset of I'm going to let go of these shadows. I'm going to let them, you know, go on and do their thing or whatever. But as I got into the work, I realized that there's no real letting go. It's not a release process. It's a acceptance process. It's an embracing process. It's a falling in. I tell Lisa all the time, it's kind of breaking all that crystal around your heart and letting your heart be fully vulnerable and a total acceptance of all of you. Even the bad stuff, right? The dark desires, the things that we don't want others to know about ourselves. So it's interesting, but at the same time, when you said the result was the people kind of having ease and not being triggered as much and not being bothered by the things they were bothered, I absolutely have felt that exact result in my life where, mm-hmm. you know, all the things that used to piss me off or I judge somebody for or whatever, which is just, we've talked about this in this podcast a lot. Judging is just projecting. Right. And that's probably been the number one, well, maybe number two thing is that I'm no longer triggered as often and as much as I have been in the past. I didn't go into it to heal, quote unquote, right? I went into it to, just, you know, embrace my own totality. But I think healing was a byproduct of even my own self-guided approach. So do you get folks that come kind of with that intention or is it usually always around wellness or healing?
It's a variety. I'll even say in my nutrition work, I only work with nutrition clients now that are also willing to do energetic or shadow work too. So I've made that distinction. I put it out into the universe. I was like, I can no longer, battle's not the right word, but if I can't convince you that this whole energetic field and balance is just as important as the food choices, then you're not necessarily somebody I want to work with. So I got really clear on that.
I love front. That. Yeah. I love
and,
that.
And it felt really great because that for me was really important for my alignment. Yeah. Then that usually means I'm attractive to potential clients that have already started doing some of this energetic or shadow work. And I think it's really great, James, like how deep you were able to go in that self-taught method. And I think that many people can make that progress. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of great resources available. I know you've mentioned a number of books and I think there's a couple others that we could link in the notes if people
reference those. Yeah, we love that.
Where I think the value of working with someone one-on-one, even though you have the will to do it on your own, is that practitioner can challenge you to go to that next level. Yeah. That sometimes like the somatic piece is, I mean, I see a shadow worker occasionally, right? Because I stay in my head. I'm like, oh no, don't like that feeling. Yeah. And I almost subconsciously I'm doing it. I'm not actually aware that I'm avoiding that. And once a year I'll check in with my practitioner and be like, okay, I've been avoiding this and I'm just telling you, keep me on the hook for this session. and so that's the piece that's like, there's a lot we can do on our own. And then just having, just to your point, right, about coaching and just looking at providing tools. Sometimes we just need that person that's like, yeah, you got to 90%, but there's this little pocket over here. Yeah. So for some people that self-guided piece can just be an incredible component of their healing journey. And I just try to really watch for myself, like, am I getting really academic in it? And am I journaling every day and taking lots of notes and giving myself feedback? But where am I actually feeling it in my body? And if I haven't connected it back into that, then I need to go deeper, or it's time to set up an appointment with someone that is going to kind of call BS on. I think I've worked through it.
Yeah. So, no, I agree.
I love that.
Yeah. I think,
and it's layers. That's the other piece too, is that just like the energy healing and shadow work is not a linear experience, often, like with the titration conversation, you can start to peel back a couple layers. Okay, that was enough. Then you were able to go deep. And then it turns out, oh, there was a whole other section over here. And so that just continues to unveil itself. And by equipping yourself with the tools and practicing this over time, it becomes, I don't even like to use the word scary, but less intimidating each time to to face what's coming up.
Yeah. 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 Good point. Yeah. I am. I've noticed, I love the point about getting in the body. That's, I've always been in my head. I'm very intellectual when it comes to these concepts. And only recently, it's actually Lisa that it was sort of the, in the beginning of our relationship together, she kind of introduced me to, you know, paying more attention to what's in my body. And I thought I couldn't do it. I thought it was foreign. I was like, you know, if I listen to my body, I get chewed out because I've mistreated this thing for a long, long time. But you know, once I did it, it's very powerful to find yourself. That's the word I use. Find your truth. Find who you really are by listening to your body. And because your mind is limited, and our body is so much more capable and the potential. So I appreciate, and I think I'm going to follow your advice and hire myself a practitioner as well, just because.
Hire Jen. There you go.
Yeah. Man, got a client. It all works out.
It all works out. Yeah, no, and that's the piece too, right? It's like we can intellectualize everything, and there's so much power in being willing to observe what's going on around us. And sometimes you just need that extra, like, okay, check in one layer deeper. Yeah. Where do you feel that? Yeah. And one piece for an outcome for the clients that this sparked as a reminder is at the end. While we're figuring out where the discomfort is and what's uncomfortable, I ask the client, you all, to really just identify, where do you feel that in your body? How would you describe it? And then as we follow, then whatever memories or visuals or things come up along the way, and then we start to clear things out. I'm still using energy healing kind of in the background, even as I'm guiding, like I'm helping dissolve cords. I've got pendulums. I've got all sorts of tools that I can be using that just help things dissipate. But by the end of the session, we pause, you do another scan, and you figure out, like, there's more softness, more ease, and it doesn't have to be perfect. Not everything's going to be light and love every time, but to figure out that new body baseline, I call that your energetic blueprint. Like, so it's like you spend time really feeling into your body after you've done some of that shadow work, and that's like your new compass, like your new point home to come into it, to revisit. Mm. And so when you find yourself checking in with your body and you're further away than you have been in a while from that new energetic supportive blue baseline, then it's a reminder to just pause and really feel into your body again, which I mean, and that requires effort. I'll also say that all of this work requires us to sit down and go inward, which is not always fun when you're like, yeah, just fix it. Just tell me that my chakra, you aligned it. Yeah.
Good to go. Right? That's why it's good to have a practitioner helping you. Because, you know, like James was saying in the beginning, he was like, I don't think I can do this, or I don't know if I want to do this, or whatever. I've treated my body. I don't know if I can feel into my body.
Right.
It's where the practitioner helps you, guide you.
Yeah. Well, and I know even when Lisa and I just do our touch bases, right? Because we put events together and just in general, enjoy each other's company. Right. Yep. So she'll call me on my stuff too and be like, oh, really? That was an interesting statement. You know, so we need that we need it from practitioners that we trust. Yep. Because Lisa's not attached to my outcome. Like, right. She's trusting that she's providing me with the tools and asking thoughtful, loving questions that help me evolve.
Yeah.
And so that's a piece also. Whomever, like, you choose as a practitioner, it's really making sure that you feel that they are holding enough space for you to evolve, and that you're not just trying to get where they think you need to go.
Yeah, exactly. That's a really good point. Yeah.
Really good
that's
point.
That's a good point. Well, thank you so much spending this time. It was really fun.
Yeah, I could talk about this stuff all
I know.
Day
I was
long,
just thinking we could have you back because we could have this conversation could go on.
Well, yeah, and we're going to have a episode on healing and so energy and energy healing. So, you know, maybe we'll have you back to talk to us.
Yeah, we'll have you back for that.
I'd love to. Yeah. Anytime. Yeah.
That'd be great. Well. And so we mentioned your website. That's where people can find out what you're up to basically. Mm-hmm. And we'll put it in the link. And actually Jen and I are going to be doing another workshop together. So Jen and I do energy workshops together where we help people connect to their energetic body. And we're going to be doing one. So we'll figure that out, we'll post that too. Or it'll be on her website and my website.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, 2020 has certainly had its ups and downs, but it's also, I just feel really grateful that there's been so many opportunities to really evaluate priorities and to rethink how we're living life.
It's been a great Petri dish and I did that on purpose. It's been a great Petri dish for finding your shadows because you're constantly triggered by things right and left over and over again. And so it's a great opportunity to see and unpack a little bit of some of the shadows that we all
absolutely sitting at home for months.
Yeah.
And you know, like when the weather's nice, you can get outside, but certainly there's been a lot of, what would I be doing right now in 2019? And it's like, we can fill our lives with a lot of distractions.
Yeah. We can.
I'm really trying to embrace this part of it even.
Yeah.
Some days are better than others.
Yeah, absolutely. For everybody. Yep. Well, thanks
thank
for joining
so
us.
Thank you.
We loved having you on.
Yeah. And we'll just call it, say bye-bye to everybody.
Yeah. Thanks for listening and bye-bye.